Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back into The Bench, guys. Lance Zierlein here with you. And joining me right now is an old friend of mine who works for the SEC Network. Although he does come from the magical world of radio initially. Peter Burns was in San Antonio and then Denver. And I did his Denver radio show and he's done the Houston show. And so, Peter, we've talked about everything sports and everything non-sports, most of what we could get into. I once had you on the day, well, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. The Black Friday day is one of the most special days of the year because that's when World Star Hip Hop really gets it lit with fight videos.
That's whenever you gather grandma around and you just show her the greatness that is Black Friday mall fights. And really, if you can't get together as a family bonding over mall fights, what really is bonding worth with your family?
I mean, look, you've got A Christmas Story, which airs every year. That's one of those family things. I think you can do that. I think you can watch the Christmas Day quadruple or now quintuple headers. I feel like that's one. Probably 4th of July, maybe watching the fireworks is one. And then mall fights or Walmart fights from Black Friday. I think those are all things.
It's top five. I feel like, and now with technology being the way that it is, like we get more and more, go to higher quality mall fights and Black Friday fights. So that's good for, it's a win all the way around, my friend.
I like the fact that we get high definition fight videos in Walmart between two moms looking for the same. I don't even know what the hot toys are. To be honest with you, I don't even know. Like they've got specialty stores. My daughter gets this American Girl thing. What a racket. When I am done in the world of sports, I'm definitely getting into some type of making dolls and doll clothes for kids because that thing's never going away. That'll make money forever.
And this was my daughter's first Christmas, and I got her absolutely zero things. So I'm like, and me and Ticketos is what I call my wife. I'm like, what are we going to get her? There's nothing of any value that she's going to understand at this point. So yeah, like this was easily the easiest I ever got off on a Christmas shopping, to say the least.
Did you get her the new FIFA?
No, I got her the new Call of Duty.
Exactly.
She really hates Nazis, and so she will watch me just clean out Nazis on Call of Duty too.
Yeah, who likes Nazis? Nazis are no one likes them. So yeah, and then you're kind of a placeholder for the game while she learns. I get that. That's all I am.
I'm trying to build up her status for her character, so that way, whenever she can take over in a couple of years, it's got good stats, got all the good guns. So yeah, it's the kind of parenting I am, Lance. That's where we are.
I'll be honest with you. I think highly of you for doing that. So that's just me. What do you think?
We actually get into sports, and then we're going to do this. I am a sucker now. Instead of the mall fights, I have transitioned a little bit as a dad now. I like seeing the videos of people getting sporting tickets, like sporting event tickets for Christmas. Like I always think that's like it's the Georgia fan who's been a lifelong suffering fan, and now the Bulldogs are playing in the semifinals. So like I love watching this, like the grandfather getting the tickets from his son. Everybody crying. Like I love those things.
Is this I didn't realize that because it seems like every week I find out about a new genre of videos, like the unboxing thing. When I found out, I still to this day I'm having a hard time with this, that kids will sit and watch people open presents or open things. Like, that's an entire genre of videos. Did you know about this? The unboxing?
Yeah, well, I know it's, like, huge in Japan. Like there will be people that make, like, tens of thousands of dollars just unwrapping stuff. Like, I know there's Twitch for video games where you, like, you sit around watching people play video games. I did not know that there was how big of a market there was just to see people open stuff. Like, I feel like I could do that as a job if this whole SEC network thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, it feels – I mean, I'm definitely open to opening stuff and unboxing. That's not a problem. I didn't know there was a whole genre of tickets to sporting events for fans / older people. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Like, I think it's great, but I also think it's to the point now. It's like, I want to see it maybe for an Oklahoma fan, a Georgia fan. But, like, if you're Clemson or Alabama, you're kind of like – do I really want a semifinal ticket? Like, can I hold off and maybe get a finals ticket? Because I think that's what's so interesting about the playoffs this year, right? Like, as I seamlessly and awkwardly transition to actual sports talk here, that, like, the Clemson Alabama is the trilogy. We're all looking forward to it, but the fans are like, I don't know if I'm going to travel to that one because I'm kind of used to our teams playing the championship. Whereas Georgia and Oklahoma, they're like, it's like the great land rush, you know, to get tickets for this event. It's in the Rose Bowl. Like, I'm more excited about the Georgia-Oklahoma game than I am actually the Alabama-Clemson game.
So, well, let's get into it. Let's look at those four. Georgia-Oklahoma, to me, it is either going to go sharply one way or sharply the other. Either Oklahoma,
right,
you know, pounds them early, gets up, and Georgia just simply doesn't have enough juice to catch up. Or the other thing happens, and Baker Mayfield is not ready for the speed of an SEC defense and the running game of Chubb and Michelle and the offensive line, frankly, just hammers Oklahoma, and they're just not on the same level as Georgia. Which one? How do you see that one playing out?
I'm fascinated by it because I keep leaning towards, man, I was on the field for the SEC championship game, and I've seen Alabama's defense, and it's fast. I saw Auburn's defense up close, they're fast. What Georgia, the way they reacted after getting punched in the mouth in the SEC championship game was nothing short of incredible. And I just, listen, Baker was able to put up monster numbers against TCU. What, 7 touchdowns in the 2 games,
yeah,
averaged over 300 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Georgia, I still think, is twice the defense that TCU has. So I'm really kind of curious to see what Jake Fromm's going to do, because I think the first 10 minutes of that game are huge, because – Fromm, if he completes a couple of outs, he completes a couple of passes, I think he settles down like he did in the SEC championship game, and they win that game handily. But I could also see if Oklahoma wins the toss, they sure as hell are going to take the ball first. They're going to try to go down there, punch it out 7-0, and make Georgia play from behind. So I think you'll know. That's one of those games that I would never put money on before the game, but I definitely, as in the first 2 minutes, I'd go ahead and start pounding the second half with a live bet on one way, because you're going to know within 10 minutes of that game who's going to win it.
I agree with you. I don't think that's going to be one of those back-and-forth really great games, and I hope it is. I hope it is from a fan standpoint, but I like Georgia in that one. I just think Georgia's physicality, their run game, their offensive line has been so much better. That's how I'm guessing that the talent level across the board for an SEC defense is going to far surpass what Baker Mayfield saw this year. But I say that, but he handed Ohio State their ass at Ohio State. And last time I checked, they got some NFL guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're not terrible. And again, TCU was decent. I mean, we kept looking at TCU. Oh, the Big 12 doesn't play any defense except for TCU, and he absolutely crushed the Horned Frogs twice. They, you know, not once. They had, like, all the game film on him, and they're like, they still couldn't do him,
right,
you know, stop him down. So I'm looking for that one. I still think Georgia wins that game in a close one. The thing is, on the other side of it, I think Clemson's just got too much for Alabama. I have major concerns that I go back and look at the last probably 5 or 6 games that Jalen Hurts has played a good defense, Lance, and you study film more than I do. Jalen Hurts' passing has become a complete detriment to this squad, and I don't think that they're going to be able to run the ball against the Clemson defense, and I just think that Clemson ends up kind of strangleholding Alabama, playing kind of Alabama-style football.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking is, they're one of the few teams that can Alabama with Alabama. It's there's
right,
not a lot of teams who have been able to just line up and say, you know, in the past, it had to be, okay, you had to have Johnny, and then Deshaun Watson was a guy that could get outside of the pocket and do this. It's really to the point where I look at Alabama's defense, and I just say, this is like I look at Clemson's defense, and I say, this is basically like Alabama. Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Clelin Farrell. It's really an Alabama defense in orange jerseys.
Well, and this is not the Alabama that we've known. Like, Bama has set such a high bar, for a standard for themselves, that, like, this is not the last 2 years Alabama. This is a good Alabama team, right? But I would say this is an average Alabama team for Nick Saban, and that's amazing, right? Like, an average Nick Saban squad.
This really is,
Still in the college football playoff. They've just set such an unrealistic expectation for themselves because the excellence has been so good. But, I don't think Dabo Swinney gets enough credit, because a lot of us thought, okay, this is going to be like Virginia Tech was with Michael Vick, where they were really good because they had a game-changing quarterback, and then they'll fall off. And Dabo Swinney has shown that, you know, when they built those facilities, they built them at the exact same time that it correlated to a national championship. He's recruiting the ACC in Florida State being down. Like, he's taking advantage of everything. And, you know, him and Kirby are the new Sabans of college football.
Yeah, and, yeah, I got to tell you something now. Even though this is an average Alabama team, there's going to be 11 players drafted from this team at least, depending on
right.
who comes out.
That's crazy, right?
So, like, yeah, you know. So it's still, you know, I don't want to sell them short, but I just haven't seen enough from Jalen Hurts to lead me to believe that he can rise to this level above and beyond where he's been playing. Frankly, Damian Harris has played better ball than last year, but Bo Scarborough's taken a little bit of a step back, and that's the guy that's kind of a wild card in this, is if Scarborough can turn into a battering ram against Clemson. I still don't think
especially
you can just,
late.
Yeah.
Late, and that's what cost them last year. They didn't have Scarborough late, and Lane Kiffin was so afraid to do anything outside. And once Scarborough was out, I was surprised last year going back there, they didn't run Jalen Hurts out of the pocket a lot more late into that game. I know they were protecting him throughout the regular season, but I expect that to be the case. And the big difference is, too, they don't have an X factor. The last 2 years, O.J. Howard went for either 200 yards or 100 yards in the national championship game. They don't have that kind of, where the hell has this guy been all season long? I just don't feel, and maybe it is Bo, if he's 100% healthy and battering around late when they're tired, but we haven't really seen that from the Tide.
No, we really haven't. How about the X factor for Clemson is Hunter Renfrow. Renfro, for two straight national championship games, has put big games together against Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's one of the best defensive players in college football and has been since he was a freshman at Bama. He's a junior now. But Renfro seems to save his biggest games for last on the biggest stages, and just different quarterback throwing him the ball. But I think that Renfro versus Minkah Fitzpatrick matchup is a really interesting one, because this is a trilogy. Like, this is round three of their matchup, too.
This is Ward Gotti. I mean, they played two times before, 76-75. That's the total points of, between those two teams. I mean, so I think that's why this year's playoff, and that's why I didn't want Ohio State in there. I didn't feel like they, you know, you gave up 55 points to a 7-5 Iowa team, and you lost by 31. You sure as hell didn't deserve to play in the national championship. And I honestly believe that this is the first year in a while that I feel like both games are intriguing. I feel like over the last couple of years we've had like a Washington team that we didn't feel belonged, or Michigan State that we kind of thought, they're not quite there. Miami would have been that case had they beat Clemson. I thought they were a paper tiger all season long. So I still think, though, even though I'm the anchor of the SEC Network, Lance, there's a better chance that the SEC goes 0-2 than 2-0 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. With that said, I still have Clemson beating Georgia in the national championship.
That would be my guess. And so, naturally, what it'll be is Alabama versus Oklahoma, and Alabama will win it all.
Your thoughts on Jimbo to the SEC with Texas A&M?
I like it. I mean, listen, it's a pass-fail grade for A&M, right? You've got the athletes there in the state of Texas. You've got the facilities, Kyle Field. You've got the fan base. You needed just a coach to put you over the side. And listen, this was not like A&M, like, going over and starting to splash, like, public education or, like, firing 45 professors. This was a bunch of good old boys in a deer blind texting each other like, hey, Frank, I got 8 million. You got 8 million? Yeah, okay. All right, well, Jimmy's duck hunting now. He's got another 15 million. Like, this was 75 million that came from the good old boy oil money at A&M. So, you know, would you have ever thought that Florida State would be fighting for bowl eligibility and their coach would get 10 years, $75 million extension, basically?
You know what?
That's what Jimbo Fisher got.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, it's hard to believe that that was the case, but that's, you know, Jimbo's got that reputation. And so A&M wanted to follow up someone with a name brand coach, and they're doing it. We'll see how it turns out. I know the other team in Texas, one of the other teams.
Real quick.
Yeah.
They're starting 2-2 next year. They play Clemson and at Alabama in their first four games. So that's what I'm curious about. Like, for A&M fans that are listening right now, this is not about 2018 or 2019. This is about 2020. Like, they need to, and Jimbo's not going to say that, but they should. Any smart player or any smart media person is going to say this is about being good in the years 2020 on, not the next two seasons.
When I wonder how he's hurt by early signing day, because now it's early signing day, not just early commitments, but early signing. I know Tom Herman in Texas, they did a really good job with early signing period. I would have to think, I don't follow recruiting all that closely, but I would think it was a little tough for A&M because the coaching situation was, they were in such flux.
Yeah, they don't know who their defensive coordinator was going to be. I mean, pretty much them, Florida State, they all were in around like 25th to 30th. So, like, there were enough to get good players upon, like, kind of name recognition. But they weren't going to just, you know, grab these monster players.
Yeah.
And that's why Herman has a leg up. You know, and that's why it, listen, I'm leaving the state of Tennessee right now. That's why I probably got bad reception. I'm driving to the mountains with family. and listen, I had 15 Vol fans that were just sitting around the living room wanting me to try to talk them off the ledge of how bad this situation is for them right now.
Oh, no, it's bad. Don't worry. We can't talk you off the ledge. It's not good. Hey, I gotta ask before I let you go. I gotta see if you have the same interest level in this one. Wisconsin versus Miami feels like Hoosiers or something. You know, it feels like here you got this. Like, here's the team that dunks and the athletic team from the 1950s, and here's the white guys and the black chucks. I mean, it feels Wisconsin Miami with the turnover chain, which by the way is just fantastic. But that matchup now, with Swag U taking on Wisconsin, has got a 1940s boxing or even, you know, Hoosiers type of feel to it.
I'm fine with that. But the thing is that I liked about the whole Miami and the Swag factor is I think what we're getting past is the fact that the turnover chain is the most brilliant part of marketing I've ever seen. Everybody got caught up on it, but you realize the jeweler behind it is a guy that's disassociated from North Carolina football, right? Like, he's not even allowed to step close to campus because I think they were players and stuff like that.
Right.
So what he did was, instead of saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to get all these guys jewelry, I'm going to create this incredible jewelry thing, this turnover chain, and that way the guys wear it, it gets a bunch of press, and all of a sudden when those guys do go to the next level, they're going to come to me for their jewelry. This is actually the most brilliant marketing at all of college football that I've seen.
It's pretty good. It is pretty good marketing. It certainly worked. I had so many other things I wanted to get to, but we're out of time, and you got to get – mountain driving is no joke. If you never mountain drive, it is like – especially when you start going around those twists and turns. Oh, my God. And do it with a crying baby, which hopefully you don't have to fade. But I had to one time when we were in the Smoky Mountains. Oh, my gosh. It is intense because you can't go. If something says it's 4 miles away, in real life, 4 miles does – oh, well, then
it's
minutes.
25 minutes.
Oh, 25 minutes easy when it's mountain driving. So, you know, yeah, so you're going through it right now. Hey, listen, man, I will let you go. I appreciate you jumping in, and enjoy your the rest of your football season.
All right, buddy. Happy New Year.
Okay, happy New Year to you.
My man, Peter Burns.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.